Instinctively, Brother turned and looked over the rooftops to the black bulk of the desert against the sky. "I saw a flash of light," he said. "And again, on the slope."
"Ah, the light of truth," said Vorbis. "So let us go forth to meet it. Take me to the entrance of the labyrinth, Brother. You know the way."
"My lord," said Brother.
"Yes, Brother."
"I would like to ask you a question."
"Do so."
"What happened to Brother Murdoch?"
There was the merest suggestion of hesitation in the rhythm of Vorbis's stick on the cobbles. Then the exquisitor said,
"Truth, good brother, is like the light. Do you know about light?"
"It comes from the sun and the moon and stars and candles and lamps."
"And so on," said Vorbis, nodding. "Of course. But there is another kind of light, a light that fills even the darkest of places. This has to be, for if this meta-light did not exist, how could darkness be seen?"
Brother said nothing. This sounded too much like philosophy.
"And so it is with truth," said Vorbis. "There are some things which appear to be the truth, which have all the hallmarks of truth, but which are not the real truth. The real truth must sometimes be protected by a labyrinth of lies."
He turned to Brother.
"Do you understand me?"
"No, Lord Vorbis."
"I mean, that which appears to our senses is not the fundamental truth. Things that are seen and heard and done by the flesh are mere shadows of a deeper reality. This is what you must understand as you progress in the church."
"But at the moment, Lord, I know only the trivial truth, the truth available on the outside," said Brother. He felt as though he was at the edge of a pit.
That is how we all begin," said Vorbis kindly.
"So did the Ephesians kill Brother Murdoch?" Brother persisted. Now he was inching out over the darkness.
"I am telling you that in the deepest sense of the truth, and they did, by their failure to embrace his words, by their intransigence, they surely killed him. But in the trivial sense of the truth," said Brother, picking every word with the care an inquisitor might give to his patient in the depths of the citadel,
"in the trivial sense, Brother Murdoch died, did he not, in omnia, because he had not died in Ephesus, had been merely mocked, but it was feared that others in the church might not understand the deeper truth, and thus it was put about that the Ephesians had killed him in the trivial sense, thus giving you and those who saw the truth of the evil of Ephesus due cause to launch a just retaliation."
They walked past a fountain. The deacon's steel-shod staff clicked in the night.
"I see a great future for you in the church," said Vorbis eventually. "The time of the eighth prophet is coming, a time of expansion and great opportunity for those true in the service of Om."
Brother looked into the pit. If Vorbis was right and there was a kind of light that made darkness visible, then down there was its opposite, the darkness where no light could ever reach, darkness that blackened light. He thought of blind Didactylos and his empty lantern. He heard himself say, "And with people like the Ephesians, there is no truce. No treaty can be held binding if it is between people like the Ephesians and those who follow a deeper truth."
Vorbis nodded. "When the great God is with us," he said, "who can stand against us? You impress me, Brother."
There was more laughter in the darkness and the twang of stringed instruments.
"A feast," sneered Vorbis. "The tyrant invited us to a feast. I sent some of the party, of course. Even their generals are in there. They think themselves safe behind their labyrinth, as a tortoise thinks itself safe in its shell, not realizing it is a prison. Onward."
The inner wall of the labyrinth loomed out of the darkness. Brother leaned against it. From far above came the chink of